The following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the R&R Podcast Network. Welcome to the flagship edition of the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. A hard-hitting, in-depth, cutting-edge look into the world of professional wrestling. Now, let's introduce your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. This is a very special bonus episode. I've had this gentleman on before. He was also on Wrestling's Reality with John Wanglin and I. He's a very, very busy guy. He's harder to get a hold of than the Pope sometimes, but especially with what's going on now and the craziness that we call wrestling, you guys know who he is. It's the golden voice, the man with the golden pipes, the creator of ProWrestling.net, the editor of ProWrestling.net, Mr. Jason Powell. What's going on, man? How are you doing?
Too much is going on, but it's good to be back, man.
That's good to have you here. I don't want this show to be too much of a downer, but Christ, man, all the craziness that's going on today. Is this real life anymore, man? I mean, not just wrestling, but shit, all the stuff going on in politics and the rioting and the pandemic. Like, 2020 fucking sucks, right? Can we admit that now? Is it too early to call it yet, or?
I mean, we're barely even halfway through it. That's the scary part. I can't even imagine what in the hell 2020 still has in store for us.
I mean, we got, you know, the pandemic. We got fucking murder hornets. We got the Tiger King. We got the fucking aliens. The police tragedy. You know, the stuff with going on in Minneapolis and all the rioting that's coming. Seattle is fucking like 9 blocks. Seattle is being taken over. And now we got...
I want to move there. I just want to live in the bubble, because what's going on outside, it just isn't working for me.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right, but now we got hashtag speaking out in wrestling. What do you make of what we've seen the last couple of weeks in the world of wrestling?
Oh my God, where to begin? I can't say I'm truly surprised. Having covered this industry for many years, I guess I was naive enough to think that things had improved from the rock star days of the 80s and 90s, whatever. It just seemed like a different atmosphere, but you never know what people do behind closed doors. And, so we're finding out now, and a lot of it isn't good.
Yeah, at least back in the 80s and 90s, and maybe because we didn't have cell phone cameras and the internet, but I mean, it was a wild time and excess was best. And yeah, man, a lot of crazy shit happened back then. But what may have been okay, and I'm not saying it was okay back then, but being in the current political climate that we're in right now, what somebody could have got away with back in the day, they're not getting away with it now. I mean, it's just, it's pretty insane the list of things that we've learned and new names every day, no less. It's not a good time to be a wrestling fan. It's pretty hard to be a wrestling journalist and be a wrestling, podcast host, because you got to kind of walk a fine line.
You do. It's a tough time. You have to be careful about what you discuss, what you don't. I guess my policy on it has been, when it comes to covering it on the site, is if there's an accusation, okay, it's an accusation. It's one side of the story. When it becomes a story, and not that the accusation doesn't count. I'm certainly paying close attention to all of that. But from a covering my own ass standpoint, yeah. I think there needs to be a statement from the company of that represents the accused, or the accused themselves, or an attorney, or something like that. There needs to be the company issuing a statement on it will make it a story. But if you can get both sides of the story, if you can get the accuser's statement or multiple accusers, and you get a rebuttal or an acknowledgement from the person being accused, that's when I feel safest with it.
Yeah. I mean, we saw that from Matt Riddle, who his attorney came out, and apparently this has been ongoing for quite some time. And, WWE issued their own statement that they're looking into it and they take everything seriously. And Christ, we'll get into them here in a minute, how much shit they got surrounding them right now. But, we've seen various people get released, like Jack Gallagher. Jimmy Havoc is going into, I guess, rehab. Sammy Guevara got suspended without pay indefinitely. Several other stars in in Europe have gotten released. It's not just in Europe, it's here as well, but I mean, it's pretty much all around the world. And given what we know about the wrestling business itself and how fucked up it's been over the years, I mean, it shouldn't come as a shock. Wrestling is a carny business. It's a seedy business. And I kind of thought we were past the old days, you know, where you used to try to break somebody in, or, you know, you didn't get a push unless you did this or that. And, you know, ring rats and, you know, all the stuff that you've read about and heard about over the years. I didn't think, you know, that took place now, given the fact that the younger stars, you know, aren't in the bars pretty much anymore. And maybe they are. Maybe I'm projecting, but it doesn't seem like business is done the same way as it was back in the 80s and 90s. I thought we were beyond all that, but apparently we're not.
No, that's just it, you know, and I think there really is a generation that, instead of going to the hotel bar after a show, many of them, not all, will head back to the room and, you know, play their favorite gaming, whether it's Xbox or PlayStation, what have you.
Yeah.
But obviously, that's not the case with everyone, as we're seeing. And, you know, some of what we saw in the UK, I mean, I don't know, it's not uncommon here to have an indie show followed by an official after party at a local watering hole. I've never seen anything out of line there. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, but I've never personally seen it. But it does sound like in the UK, it almost became, and believe me, I'm not just blaming the UK for this, but it just almost seemed like it was part of the process over there, that it was just kind of, you know, an after party here, based on what I saw, was in some case, I mean, I just know from talking to some of the guys, they felt like they had to make an appearance and couldn't wait to get the hell out of there. You know, some would stay longer than others, but in the UK, it almost seemed like it was, all right, it's party time. This is where we get laid.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right about that. And I mean, doesn't matter. I don't care what generation it is. 20 something year old guys full of testosterone. I mean, doesn't matter if it's wrestling or football or basketball or any sport, and just life in general, man. That's what a lot of people do. And especially when you have some kind of a notoriety, or you think you have some kind of power over people, and you can get away with it based on who you are, man. That's human in general. That's human nature.
Yeah, and there's no, you know, hey, if it's go to the bar and meet somebody and it's two consenting adults, not a damn thing wrong with that, of course.
Right.
But the issues we're dealing with are much more severe. And, you know, you touched on it too. Some of the coaching that just turned ugly. And
yeah.
I mean, hell, I just watched the Netflix documentary, Athlete A. And obviously, so it's not just related to pro wrestling. That was a horrific documentary about what the U.S. gymnastics team, the women's gymnastics team, for many years has gone through.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, very timely for anybody who hasn't seen that, given what's happening in pro wrestling today, definitely. But, you know, what gets me is the lack of mainstream attention. I guess I'm not surprised when it comes to this, because I did talk to somebody that I know that works in mainstream media, just kind of picked his brain as to why. And it was kind of what I expected, that there's not the top star yet, the big name that's going to get an editor to say, yeah, go with this. And there haven't been any police reports filed that we know of. If that changes, you know, then I think you're going to start seeing it. So if it's a bigger name, or it's just we start to see some police reports, then you may see the mainstream media get on board. But what baffles me, we're in the middle of a pandemic, all holy hell's breaking loose in WWE, and we barely hear anything about it.
The Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
I don't want to downplay this at all, but, you know, in the general media's eyes, I guess there's more important things to report on than what's going on in wrestling.
Well, you know what, though?
They don't like to talk about anyway.
Allegations.
What's that?
I just saw on CNN yesterday. It may still be there now. They had a headline about, you know, similar circumstances of the speaking out movement when it came to the gaming community. And so I don't know. I'm just, you know, I like to play my PlayStation now and again. I don't consider myself a true gamer, so I don't follow that. Maybe there were some bigger names that wouldn't mean a thing to me, but would to a certain audience. And so maybe there was something in there that made them go with that story rather than, you know, and just kind of so far basically ignore what's happened in the wrestling industry.
Yeah, no, I mean, which is unfortunate because, you know, people need to get their stories out there, not just on Twitter. I mean, people need to be made aware of what's going on so it doesn't happen to them. You know, not everybody is on
WWE, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of bouncing back and forth here, but with COVID, it's one thing for you and I to talk about it and everybody in the wrestling media world.
Right.
They're not getting any real scorn from the mainstream media. And I think that's what needs to happen in order. I mean, hopefully, you know, they're seeing the light. It's a little bit late now with the rumors of the number of people who have tested positive for COVID in WWE. But I mean, how in God's name they were able to get away with doing temperature checks at the door and very little else. I mean, to me, if there's mainstream media attention focusing on that, that doesn't happen. They're gonna be shamed basically into doing the right thing sooner than they did.
Well, I mean, let's go back even a step further than that, and that's, you know, WWE being named an essential business in the state of Florida. How the fuck does that even happen?
DeSantis puts the duh in Florida. I don't know, man. what a fucking lunatic. I don't know, man. You start picking sides in politics and you lose half your audience. And on my side, I don't personally give a shit anymore. Yeah. I'll just say what I want, but right. I don't want to piss off half your listeners. But I'll just, in this case, we'll just make it specifically about him and say, what a fucking buffoon.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, supposedly there's a lot of money donated, maybe with a super PAC related to Linda McMahon. I don't know if that's speculation or if that actually happened, but
you know, I will defend them on that one. That was going to happen anyway. You know, we don't know if there's, I mean, could there be something more that we were not aware of? Sure, I guess. But I mean, that Florida's a swing state.
Yeah.
And, you know, Linda was obviously in charge of, is still in charge of that super PAC for Trump. And it was Lord. I mean, yes, they're spending a lot of money in Florida on television, and the timing of it all looked a little bit iffy. But yeah. I mean, you just knew with Florida always being a swing state, you never know what the fuck is going to happen there. Anytime it's election season, you knew that was going to be a big area where they would spend some money. And so I think that one, even though it looked a little fishy, I don't think that's what it is. But I mean, clearly there's really strong political allies at play here when it comes to the McMahon family, DeSantis, just the Republican Party in general.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, AEW was the benefit of that. I mean, for Vince getting them named an essential business, at that point, AEW had gone to a warehouse in an undisclosed location. Was it Georgia? Okay, so
yeah, Norcross, Georgia, I believe it was.
Okay, so as soon as WWE got the okay to film in Florida every week, AEW was the benefit of that, and they were allowed to go back to Daly's place. So as much as Cody might have a bug up his ass about the McMahon family, they did him a solid on that one.
I guess so. And hey, they deserve some credit, more than WWE does when it comes to the way they've done their testing. And if you're going, oh, God, he's going to defend AEW, he plays. I don't give a shit. I cover everybody the same. It's all wrestling to me. I'm not that guy. But they do deserve more credit because they have been doing the actual COVID testing on top of the temperature checks, as they're proud to tell you, and for good reason. Where they lose points, though, is what we saw on Wednesday, a lumberjack match in the pandemic, brawls into the crowd, and that was just in the first two matches where I'm sitting there shaking my head watching, like, what are you thinking? They're going to say, well, everybody's tested. Well, so was the UFC fighter who shared the hotel with you. I believe he was testing on Wednesday, tested negative, and then magically 2 days later, he tested positive. It can happen. So, you know, hey, I understand there's going to be risk. Minimize the risk.
Yeah, minimize the risk, especially when you could be asymptomatic and not test positive but still be a carrier. You know, you have that in play as well. And then at least AEW were wearing masks for the most part with the wrestlers they had in the audience, but apparently there was an edict, allegedly, from head of production, Kevin Dunn, that if you're going to be on camera, you're not allowed to wear a mask. Have you heard similar things to that?
Yeah, it's certainly been out there. I can't tell you definitively that I know, but I mean, I think your answer comes in the form of just watching their television. Have you personally seen someone wearing a mask that's in the spectator section that isn't a lucha mask?
No.
I mean, seriously, you don't think anyone in that section would want to? So I don't think it was so comical, the statement they issued on that. And even more comical, I wish I had it handy, but even more comical was I saw the Orlando Sentinel headline, WWE slams reports or something like that, that masks weren't allowed. If you read the actual statement, It said they did all the testing procedures and therefore masks weren't necessary. It never said masks were allowed. Never once did it use those words. And for some reason, with the little bit of mainstream media attention that this actually gets, they fucking dropped the ball.
Yeah, I mean, that's par for the course nowadays. So supposedly SmackDown, as we're recording this, it's Friday, the 26th of June. Supposedly SmackDown is going to be live to tape tonight. Do you foresee masks being used, given the edict that was put out by the governor last week?
Well, yeah, I think there's a chance. If they didn't have a wave of positive tests, and so far I think we know officially four, and it's certainly believed there are many more, and WWE isn't pleased with people putting that information out there. If they have their way, people are going to keep it in-house. So I think that is going to have as much to do with it as anything. If they didn't have an outbreak, I think they'd be able to dance around it and, well, it's private property and we're an essential business and all these other excuses that they usually have for not doing it. But yeah, tonight will be interesting just to see if they actually, I mean, they're selling WWE masks. Why in the hell wouldn't you use that as a marketing tool in this day and age? But I don't know if it's Vince's politics. I don't know if he's just delusional. I mean, we know he is on certain things at age 74, no doubt about it. But I don't know where this mindset comes into play that, I mean, he shouldn't even be there. Let's be real about this.
Yeah.
And they're bringing in Ric Flair with his history of health issue. I mean, you guys are insane.
All to put on a wrestling product, man. I mean, you know, when
all for us. It's all for us, man.
All for us. It has nothing to do with them or making any money off of ad revenue or anything like that. But
it's all for the fans.
Yeah, no, you're right. They could have branded their own, you know, COVID mask with different characters on it and different slogans. And, they could have made a lot of money off of that. They could have.
Well, they do. I don't know how many they have, but they definitely have WWE masks that they're marketing. But you
won't do they? See them on TV. Okay. I wasn't aware of that. Okay. Well, yeah, go figure there. I mean, they'll put their name on anything if they could make a buck out of it. But, it's funny. given the fact that, you know, so many people tested positive in WWE and, you know, people going on social media like Kayla Braxton and Renee Young saying that they're infected. I believe there was one more, the head of their, I think their head producer, I can't remember his name.
Adam Pearce and then Adam Jamie Pearce. Noble today as well.
Yeah. So do they have any heat that you know of with the office for going public like that?
I don't know. I can't tell you specifically that they do. I'm guessing in Renee's case, she's probably in who gives a fuck mode. I mean,
yeah,
it's a tough time for anybody in any business to be unemployed right now.
Right.
They can't get rid of you for this. That would just look ridiculous, number one. But I mean, let's face it, her husband worked for the competition. I do think that she is talented enough to work for an ESPN, a TSN, you know, just somebody out there outside the wrestling bubble. So I don't think she has to give a damn. And then the others, you know, it may have been, I know Kayla wrote basically, I wasn't going to say this, but since other people are, then she confirmed it. Well, she then turned around and deleted her Twitter page saying she wanted to focus on her health. So I don't know if that's a sign that she caught hell for this. If so, shame on that company.
Well, I mean, saying that she had it back in February or March, and now that she has it again, like, WWE wouldn't even want her to make that public if she was sick the first time, because that'd be the first time that we heard of it, so.
Yeah, well, they did. I'm guessing she was the one, because if you remember the first, they've confirmed twice that there have been positive tests, and one of them was a non-wrestler. It basically implied that it was a broadcast team member. And so I'm assuming that was her. And it was a situation where she was with friends and somebody else had it. So it wasn't something they totally feared was going to spread throughout the performance center because it happened between tapings, essentially. So they did confirm that was, I don't even remember the month, but they did confirm it. We just don't know definitively that it was her, but it sure seems like it was.
And, you know, given the given the fact that, again, they do have positive tests, or even the fact that, you know, you're putting on this this show where you have plexiglass up, which is absolutely fucking ridiculous. it looks horrible.
Can I tell you why they did that?
Actually, yeah, go ahead. Before I get into my thought, why did they put the plexiglass up?
It's pretty obvious. It goes back to, it was either Variety or Hollywood Reporter. I can never remember which. But one of the trades Stephanie did an interview with early in the pandemic when the media actually was asking questions about why they're still running. And she took a pot shot without mentioning AEW by name. She did take a pot shot at them for having spectator wrestlers. And so I just knew that, you know, WWE wasn't going to do anything. They weren't going to have spectator wrestlers, even though it made the product a lot more, you know, just better to watch.
Right.
Because they had her make that statement. I don't even blame her. You know, this is just something that she's probably, they probably coached her up. Hey, make sure you take needle in for this. And so when they finally did come around, you knew they had to have something extra. It couldn't just be that, oh, it's okay now, because, I mean, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. So they had to put their own little stamp on things to say, see, but we're doing this.
Yeah, but there's a difference between, like, going into, you know, a gas station and they have a piece of glass between you and the cashier or the owner or whatever. But, you know, to put up, like, fucking hockey boards? Like, come on, man. That's ludicrous.
I'd love to see, like, a medical expert step in there. And examine, like, is this really safer for the people behind the glass? I can see it being safer for the people in the ring.
Right.
Until that first episode when they debuted it, when half of the people in the spectator section ran to the ring to break up a Drew McIntyre brawl. Like, what is this?
The level of hypocrisy from the WWE. And then you got the Street Profits going behind the glass and dancing around with the crowd a couple weeks ago. How fucking dumb was that?
Dominic Mysterio sent out through the crowd too.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, they followed that one up. There was something, one of their brilliant press releases talked about, it was the same one with the, you know, the reason that masks haven't been worn, because they're following all the guidelines. And yes, they did have friends and family, but they all stayed 6 feet apart. It's like, we can see with their own eyes that there were times when that's not true, guys.
Yeah. No, they're not 6 feet apart. They're barely.
All they care about is the mainstream media continues to be lazy and go, oh, well, they're saying they're staying 6 feet apart, so things must be great.
Well, they're not great when you got a lot of your top stars that refuse to go. You know what I mean? Yeah. Roman Reigns has been out since before WrestleMania. Kevin Owens came, you know, left and came back, and after the recent tests and all that, he's like, no, fuck that. I'm not going to bring that home to my family because we're not staying in Orlando. We're still flying home every week, which is ludicrous in itself. The fact that you wouldn't do a block of taping, let's say, for 3 weeks and just stay in Orlando and then stay home for a few months. Like, I don't even understand the whole taping schedule that they come up with. It just doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't you just try to knock it all out in 3 or 4 weeks and then take a couple months off, you know, go home with your family? That way you're not traveling. You're minimizing your risk from coming into contact with other people and flying and all that. It's just the way they've handled it, man. It's pretty deplorable.
It may, you know, early on, it was everyone assumed concern on Vince's part when it came to their contracts to produce live television for USA and Fox, especially, and, you know, international, whatever. Hmm. Clearly, you know, that changed. Whatever concerns he had changed because they switched to, all right, we're not going to do this every week. We're not going to be live every week. We're going to start doing these two tapings at a time. Well, if you can do two, you could tape three at a time, or you could tape four at a time. So I'm totally with you. I mean, maybe there's something legally with these networks that we're not aware of, but for once, you know, put your talent ahead of your pocketbook. I mean, come on. You can't take it with you, Vince.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
And, you know, at first, I wasn't going to bash anybody, and I was still, as a wrestling fan, happy that WWE and AEW were still out there putting a product out for us, but, you know, as we're in almost July now, and things are starting to reopen again, and obviously cases are going to go up, you know, because number one, you're doing more testing now, but number two, you have more people coming out of their house. But at this point, you know, when you have so many people testing positive in your company, wouldn't you pump the brakes? I mean, have they even made an official statement as of yet?
No. People had asked them, this one's worth pulling up. I was among the people who asked them about, was it testing, or I think it was reports of positive COVID tests. Mm-hmm. And I'll see if I can, it'll probably take me a minute, but long story short on their awful statement was it didn't address anything. It was, here it is, WWE statement following reports of positive COVID testing. So, yeah, I asked them if there have been additional positive tests amongst the crew that worked at the Performance Center. Here's the quote. WWE will continue COVID-19 testing of its talent, production crew, and employees in advance of television productions for the foreseeable future. End quote. Answers nothing.
Wow. I mean, that's earth-shattering right there. That's how autonomous can you get there? It's just...
They're doing what they're told. You know, I did have somebody.
No, I get it.
I only bring that up because somebody in the media was just shaking their head at dealing with somebody there. And it's like, well, you know, I actually know that person's not a bad guy, but you got to consider who he's reporting to. You know, they're just taking their marching orders.
It's a crazy world that we're in right now, man. Let's talk about the actual product here for a little bit. I haven't talked to you in quite a while.
I don't know if you better.
Right, yeah, no kidding. What did you think of WrestleMania and especially the two-night format? And can you see that going to a two-night format moving forward? We know that was a Meltzer idea. I'm sure he loves taking credit for that shit.
You know, I don't know if it was Dave. I know Wade Keller's brought it up. You know, I mean, I think it's been floated around. If it was Dave, it was Dave. But I'm not sure who the first. It may have even just been a fan who said it. But my thing on that has always been, yeah, it sounds right. It sounds nice. You're going to do 2 days. It's going to start, you know, 3.5-4 hours. But this is WWE. Keep in mind, WrestleMania was once one day for, you know, 3-4 hours, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it blew up. These people have no restraint. Vince McMahon thinks more is better. So, yes, this year, because of the pandemic, I think it made a lot of sense to switch it to two nights and to go, you know, 3.5-4 hours, whatever it was for the two nights. Had you tried to do that all in one shot, it would have been brutal with the just the atmosphere at the Performance Center. But I have no faith in them. Like, whenever this damn virus is done and things get back to normal, God willing, and they're back in a full stadium, or if they don't, you know, the way they're going with their business, if they're running at a, you know, full arena for WrestleMania, then I just have no faith in them to say, okay, we're going to go 3.5 one night and 3.5 the next. It'll start that way, and every year they'll just start tacking on a half hour here and an hour there. It'll just become the same. It'll be two nights of 8-hour WrestleManias.
I was going to say, WrestleMania 40. I got it now, pal. 19 hours of WrestleMania. Yeah. 2 days. We're going to have it on fucking Mars. Vince McMahon will always try to push the fucking envelope and see what he can get away with. And, you know, can you imagine sitting in the crowd just for, you know, I mean, WrestleMania 30. Which was the one in Dallas? Was it 30?
Oh, God, I'm so bad with that.
34? Fuck, yeah, no kidding. As you get older, it all blends together. But, you know, at one point the last few years, it's 7, 8, 9 hours with the kickoff show and all that. Those poor fuckers are out in the heat for that long, man. It's just... That's brutal to sit that long and be a wrestling fan. So if he were to do that for two nights straight, and then the logistics of everything, it's almost like a day-night doubleheader in baseball. You know, you got to buy tickets to each show. Yeah. I mean, just because you buy a ticket for, let's say, Saturday's WrestleMania, they're going to, you know, most of the people there come from, you know, around the world. They can't afford to buy two different tickets. So you're going to go to one night and then miss all the shit for night two. Logistically, it's going to be kind of a nightmare if that's where they want to go in the future, right?
Yeah, and I think they're going to. You know, I'll add to that the whole one of the most recent show, I believe, in Jersey, or it was one of the two. They've had a couple there within the last decade or so, I believe. Went ridiculous. It was a year they headlined with the women, the Rousey match.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
and you have, you know, people bringing their children, their daughters to see Ronda Rousey falling asleep or leaving early. And thank God they did, because those who stuck around got to stand outside waiting for public transit that never arrived in a freaking rain shower. I mean, it just, they don't, you know, as much as they can't wait to tell you everything's for the fans, bullshit. But this is here to stay, and here's why. Paul Levesque was asked about it. I don't remember if it was a media call or just an interview that he granted, but he did say that he thinks, you know, that he likes two nights of WrestleMania. And we know it's, you know, he's not going to rock the boat when it comes to Vince. So if Paul Levesque is saying that he thinks it's a good idea, that means it's pretty safe to assume that Vince thinks it's a good idea.
And if they do keep it to 3 hours or 4 hours a night, then I'm down with that. You know, like Wrestle Kingdom shows, like that's cool. Like I am all for that because it just breaks up the monotony. It breaks up. Because, yeah. I mean, there's only so long a crowd can stay hot. You know what I mean? Like, right. After 9 hours, it's like you're in the fucking 17th match. It's the main event. And they don't give a shit anymore.
Well, he does, though. I really hadn't thought of this until now. Let's face it, you know, running New Jersey, running some of these outdoor venues, they've been really lucky so far that they haven't run into, you know, Jersey area snow and cold and Florida, sure. A lot of, you know, massive rain, and they just missed that rain in Jersey. Now you're doubling your risk. Good luck with that.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And they have been very, very fortunate. Somebody was shining down on Vince. That he hasn't, you know, especially in Florida, like you said, with all the fucking rains every day in Florida, pretty much, you know what I mean? Even if it's only for half hour or so, like, yeah, they've been very fortunate that that hasn't happened. But did you like anything that you saw at this year's WrestleMania? Did you like the cinematic matches?
Okay, so they're not for me. Mm-hmm. I do like some more than others. Like, I get a kick out of Stadium Stampede. The Boneyard match was more along my level of taste than the Firefly Funhouse thing. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't find any enjoyment in that because you told me it was going to be a match. It was billed as the Firefly Funhouse match, not the Firefly Funhouse cinematic. And even if I could have prepared for that one, it just wasn't for me.
Right.
And really, you know, I mean, the Boneyard match, not for me. I mean, to me, it's not pro wrestling. It's what they... what they say it is, it's a mini movie, but at least it's two guys fighting in a little more realistic manner than some of the other things we've seen. But I give them credit at the same time because you couldn't create a spectacle within the Performance Center. None of those matches were WrestleMania spectacles. The only thing that I feel achieved that status was the Boneyard match. So even though it wasn't for me, I felt like, yeah, it served its purpose. It was the right move. They did a good job with what it was.
I actually enjoyed the Boneyard match. I mean, I like parts of the Firefly Funhouse. I did like a few of the throwbacks and kind of, you know, breaking down the fourth wall and stuff like that. But the one cinematic match that I enjoyed the most was Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. I thought that match was fantastic. And if we saw more of that style, then I'm down with that. I didn't even mind the Adam Cole match that they had at the last, not the last takeover, but the one, was it the last takeover?
Yeah, well, in your house show.
In your house one. With Velveteen Dream and outside and have the cars like a parking lot brawl or whatever. Like that I didn't mind either. But, you know, then you get into Money in the Bank and some of the absurdity and ridiculousness of that. Like, I'll give him credit. It was something we've never seen before. And the fact that we were allowed like an inside, you know, view of Titan Tower that we hadn't really seen before. It was compelling enough to get people to watch. And, you know, I try to keep a level head nowadays, and I try to take off my hypercritical hat and try to be a fan again, which is very, very hard to do. But, you know, I enjoyed most of the Money in the Bank for what it was. I mean, I knew it wasn't going to be a traditional ladder match. I mean, just the premise alone of wrestling, you know, starting at the bottom of the building and working way up to the top. I mean, you knew it was going to be a bunch of bullshit and shenanigans and all that. So I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, you get into what the Street Profits did at Backlash and the Viking Raiders. Like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, this is Vince McMahon's wet dream. Like, we know for how many years now when he first broke kayfabe and said that this is sports entertainment, this is kind of what he's been dreaming of for the last 35, 40 years. He's finally getting out to live the entertainment part of it. And you know he's got to have his hands all over that shit.
He's at least signing off on it. I didn't care for that one at all. Again, in part because they build this as a Raw tag
title. As a match.
The day of the show. Like, don't lie to us. You know, just
come
up with a neat name for it, like the Boneyard match. And even that said match, but still, you kind of, at least we've just had years of casket match, just all the graveyard matches and all the different things they've done where we kind of had some idea that this was coming.
Right.
Where that one, I just was like, oh, cool. We're finally getting these two teams in a match, and we got that. Money in the Bank, I really like the idea in theory. because you do need hooks for these pay-per-views. And I thought that was a good one, that, you know, it's going to be a Titan Tower. It's going to be, you know, WWE headquarters. It's going to be two matches happening simultaneously. You really don't get to see the inside of that building very often. This could be fun. I just thought the execution left something to be desired. I didn't find the jokes to be that clever. Like, oh, here's Brother Love flushing a toilet. Like, okay.
You know, that was good shit, pal.
Yeah, it just was. That was Vince humor. Like, that whole thing was. Felt like it was written for the audience of one. And then I still, like, they did the women's finish pretty quickly. And I thought, okay, so whichever one it was, get one of them done, men or women, and then have more of a traditional, give us 10 minutes of a traditional Money in the Bank ladder match once everybody's on the roof. But no, they just went right to the finish of the other one. And so I just sat there going, that's it? Okay. And Otis? Okay.
Oh, man, come on. Otis is great, man. Otis is very entertaining. I mean, yeah, I mean, I like watching him. I think he's entertaining. And, you know, again, I try to not be so hypercritical. We're seeing cold match after cold match, and especially for most of the time being in the empty performance center with nobody there at all, at least doing something outside the box was breaking out the monotony of seeing just match after match after match that really didn't mean anything, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, you got to give him a little bit of credit for that. But, you know, then you go to Backlash where you got booking it as the greatest wrestling match ever. Is that not an insult to, I mean, everybody, to be quite honest? I mean, I know it's subjective of what we all think could be the greatest match ever. It could be, you know, Dory Funk and Jack Briscoe. It could be Ric Flair and Steamboat. It could be, you know, Hulk James and Andre. Or
Becky Lynch.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it could be anybody. But to book it and for the company to put that verbiage out there that this is the greatest wrestling match ever, what fucking crack are they smoking?
I again, it was just a marketing hook, but it wasn't fair to those guys. And
it yeah, it's a lot. Know, it's a lot of hype to live up to.
It is, and I can tell you, Edge was not happy. I think it came through in some of his interviews. I think he put a happy face on some of that. I know he wasn't happy. Not that I'm talking to Edge, but I'm just telling you. Yeah. You know, through the grapevine, I've heard like, yeah, he was not pleased by that, and for good reason. You know, it's just, you can't live up to that hype. And they ended up going out there and having a really good match. And yeah, I mean, it's not, there were edits. So, you know, I can't say that it's the same as watching another 40-minute match that you're seeing live. But for what it was really good. But it just felt unnecessary. I don't know. I guess we'll never know how many people actually tuned in to see that because of the hype. I just don't think it was worth it, especially when you have two guys that are delivering the best mic work of their career, and they should be able to sell your audience on this match, and you're just watering it down with this stupid slogan.
I mean, Edge did a pretty good job in his final promo before the match saying, you know, I've been out for 9 years, and, you know, we didn't really have a match at WrestleMania. And, you know, this is my first actual, you know, in-ring wrestling match. And that's you know, and the company is billing it as the greatest wrestling match ever, kind of breaking down the fourth wall there and saying that, you know, that's a lot of hype to live up to. And that's a lot of pressure on me to deliver. And kind of, you know, he was doubting himself. That was the perfect way to kind of approach that, you know, at the 11th hour.
Yeah, you know, I've just been so impressed by him since he's returned. I mean, I always enjoyed his career.
Yeah.
But the mic work that he's doing and what they're getting, whether it's him or Randy applying himself or just, you know, whatever, Randy's doing some terrific mic work as well.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that. And it just, again, it just didn't need that. I feel bad for them because the WrestleMania match, I just like, it may still be going in some alternate universe. Like, please end this already. But I thought they came back with a really nice performance, but, you know, it just marred a little bit. I mean, I think most people can kind of separate and say this isn't going to be the greatest match ever. We know that, but we can enjoy it for what it is. But I didn't think anything that they tried to add to that really enhanced it. Hey, if people enjoyed the throwback Howard Finkel introductions, cool. I can live with that. Or the MSG thing, you know, the microphone lowering. But to enhance it with the crowd noise and the cameras, I just didn't think it did anything.
You know, I'm okay with the cameras because, I mean, we pretty much knew what style they're going to shoot it in. But, god damn, the crowd noise? Really? this is awesome chance, and there's only like 20 people there, and it sounds like there's 20,000. It's just, yeah, I that's kind of where even I drew the line. Like, nah, that's a little bit too much for me.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was needed. You know,
no, it wasn't.
Those guys did a great job. It was just unnecessary.
And then you got Edge getting hurt, and we didn't even see that segment, supposedly. I guess that was an edit that they did, or a reshoot. I guess they stopped the match and got positioned for the next part, and supposedly he got hurt during that process. And according to Edge, I think he came out and said that we didn't even see that part of when he got hurt. And he still finished the match. So, I mean, good on him, you know, for being a trooper and wrestling who knows how long with a torn tricep. I'm sure that wasn't fucking fun for him at all.
I don't want to underplay it, and I may be speaking out of my ass here, but I know a guy that I played beer league softball with. I think the tricep is the one, like, I believe it hurts in the moment, but you don't have to get it repaired. You're going to have, it's going to be a little disfigured.
Right.
Because he, I don't know why, but he just chose to not have the surgery. And yeah, he like showed him there's like a little indentation in his muscle, basically.
I gotcha.
So yeah, I can't tell you if it's like super painful. I hope I never find out.
No, can't me neither. I mean, not like, you know, Steve Austin tearing his bicep off the fucking bone and still finishing the match and then getting fired. But yeah, I mean, it's a tough day at the office for Adam Copeland when he had to put up with that. But you know, it was a great match. I hope
right now he's like, thank God I don't have to go back. Hopefully fans will be there when I finally do get back.
I mean, you'd have to think that if you were him, right?
Well, especially now, did he avoid COVID because of this?
Yeah, hopefully he did. I mean, it sucks for everybody else, but maybe that was a blessing in disguise for him to get hurt and not have to go back to work. That's a good point. I didn't think of that.
The Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
All right, let's get off of wrestling for a minute as we wrap it up here. What are you watching on TV nowadays, man? Are you binging on Netflix or anything like that? What's on the Jason Powell playlist nowadays?
Oh my God, what isn't? I mean, you know, if you're being responsible these days, you find yourself indoors way more often than not. And so, what have I watched? Gosh, I banged out F is for Family, the last season of the fourth season, I think it was, which is Bill Burr's animated series, which is phenomenal. And I don't know that there's another cast in all of entertainment. If I could go just hang out with the cast for a day, I think it would be that show. I mean, you've got Bill Burr right there alone, but Jonathan Banks, you've got Red Foreman from 70s. There's just so many cool people on that. I love that. Watched Hollywood with the girlfriend, did enjoy that. I've been watching Bosch on Amazon, and I kind of plowed through the first few seasons, and I've kind of taken it slower. So I'm on to the last season, but I haven't made it through it yet. But really digging that series quite a bit. And God, what, there's another one coming out soon that I wanted to see, and I can't think of what the hell it is. But yeah, I mean, Dark is back. If you can handle. There are subtitles, but if you can handle voiceovers and the occasional bad voiceover actor, it's worth it. I think it's a German series, but man, is it well done. I think Saturday is the third and final season of that. So yeah, if anybody's looking for kind of a bit of a sci-fi, but just a really well-done series. I recommend that, even though there's a chance that season three, the final season, will be a complete disaster, because I haven't seen that yet. But the first two seasons were great.
I'll have to check that out, because I haven't seen that one or heard of that one yet. Have you watched Ozark at all?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Man, you want to talk about a dark fucking series, right?
No like kidding.
It's pretty depressing. It makes you kind of put into perspective that maybe things aren't so bad in your own life when you watch the birds on that show. Holy shit, man.
Fuck them. They don't have to put up with the pandemic.
That's a good point. No, that's a good point, but that's a really good series. We just finished up the last season, or the most recent season of that. I don't know if you ever watched You on Netflix, but that... Yes, that's very, very good too.
And watch it while you can, because Lord knows what'll happen with that idiot comedian. You know, they're pulling him from Workaholics and other shows, and he was the perv on season two, I think it was. So, yeah, it's a recommended show. Hurry the hell up and watch it just in case.
You know,
cancel culture stuff works.
Yeah, no shit, I know. But it is a really, really good show. And I heard Cobra Kai is moving to Netflix. I'm excited for season 3 if that ever happens. Did you watch that on YouTube Premium?
Man, I never signed up for YouTube Premium, so I've only seen what was free, and I can't wait. I loved it. And just, you know, being a kid in that era when the movies originally came out and we were seeing the theater and all that, just seeing the little bit that I was able to on the free side, and may have cheated and watched another episode or two somewhere. But no, I haven't, have not been able to watch even the whole first season, let alone the second season. So I will binge that as soon as it comes out.
Yeah, I'm not sure when it's migrating over, but that's definitely worth a watch. I enjoy that. And I'm the same way. I watched all the first 3 movies in the theater when they came out, and I loved the Karate Kid. I mean, I'm a little bit younger than you, so I think I was like 10 or 11 when the first one came out. But, you know, I'd go home and try giving a crank kick to my dog and all that. But that's
what you're trying to do.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But that was a good show. Did you get into Ballers at all with The Rock?
I didn't finish the final season. I may go back.
I haven't to either. Yeah.
I always thought like it was okay. It wasn't a show where I couldn't wait for the next one, but it wasn't a show where I just disliked it. It just was. If I didn't have anything going on when it was, you know, Sunday night or something, I'd catch up and watch a couple of episodes. But yeah, for some reason, I just never got back to that final season.
Yeah, we're still finishing. I don't know if was the season 5 or 6. I don't remember. We're on the season before the final one, wrapping that up. But even that season got weird. You know, spoiler alert. You know, with Rock breaking up with Joe there, and it just, I don't know. It kind of got boring to me. I thought the first couple seasons were good, and then it just took a whole different, complete turn. I wasn't really digging it.
Do you have Amazon Prime?
I do.
Oh, I will. I actually watched it last night. You'd think like it was my first night off, and I don't know. Last weekend was supposed to be a free weekend. I was so excited, and then, you know, hashtag speaking out happens. Right. Like that. Well, there goes that weekend.
Right. Yeah.
So what did I spend it doing? Watching Batista's movie on Amazon. It's not bad. It's one you can watch with the family. My Spy, I think it is. I did enjoy it. It was just kind of a cute movie.
I'll definitely have to check that out. And I, you know, he's actually a pretty good actor. I enjoyed his stuff in the Bond movies. I liked the stuff in the Guardians of the Galaxy and all that. But yeah, I'll definitely check that out. Have you watched the Big Show show?
I tried, and I always watch it at a time when apparently either it's really bad or I'm tired. I'm not sure, but I always fall asleep watching it, so I can't even give it a fair assessment.
I mean, I haven't watched it either, and I plan on watching it at some point, but just thinking of the actual concept in itself, it's probably as bad as what I'm thinking it is. I mean, you know what you're going to get. You know, it's a typical cheesy, over-the-top, you know, like Full House kind of family sitcom. So,
and you have the laugh track going. Like,
right.
Didn't grab me.
Yeah, I'm not in a hurry to watch that, but speaking of Amazon Prime, did you ever watch Sneaky Pete?
No, I gotta say, Amazon Prime infuriates me. I only had it a few months. I don't know what's good on there unless somebody tells me, because their marketing is the shits.
They will
put out these ads for their programming where they're just throwing everything they have at you at once, and it's like, I don't know what you want me to watch.
Right. I mean, it's Amazon. They don't give a fuck, man. You know how much money they got? They don't give a shit about that. But no, Sneaky Pete. I think it was only 3 seasons, but it was very, very good.
Cool.
Life of a grifter, pretending to be somebody else. And definitely check that out. Giovanni Ribisi, I think, was the lead in that show, and it was a really, really good show. So if you got free time and you're not watching anything else, definitely check out Sneaky Pete. That was on one of the top of my list.
We all have free time these days, let's face it.
No shit.
Except for the last week.
Well, I mean, not me. I'm an essential employee because I'm a dispatcher for a freight company. So I've been going to work every day while my wife has been working from home. So I don't know what it's like to be cooped up with everybody else because, you know, I've still been going to work every day and going to the grind and then coming home and podcasting and streaming and creating YouTube content. Fuck, man, I haven't slowed down. I barely have time to you know, kiss the wife and play with the kid and, you know, get into my office and start podcasting. But when I do have some free
jealous, man.
Are you tired of being cooped up?
Well, see, I normally work from home. Now she's working from home, too. Oh, my God.
So you can't. You have no escape. Yeah, you have no escape, you poor bastard. Well, I always appreciate you coming on and taking time out of your busy schedule to shoot this shit. You know, I always enjoy my conversations with you because, you know, it's just two guys talking about whatever. That's what I've always liked about you. I don't ever keep a format with you. I like to just throw whatever I got in my brain. Yeah, just wing it. So it's always fun to talk to you. Do you have anything going on other than prowrestling.net or whatever you want to plug? Where can people find you? Let everybody know all things Jason Powell.
Sure. Just check out the site, prowrestling.net. If there's a television show on, it's probably being covered live, and we have audio reviews on the members side. But I'm just going to tell you, visit prowrestling.net. Hopefully you'll like that. And if you want the ad-free version with a ton of audio content, then you can always upgrade. But check out prowrestling.net, and you can follow me on Twitter at prowrestlingnet, at prowrestlingnet. Leave the dot out of that one.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, Jason, and shooting a shit with me. And, you know, it's always good to have you on. Anytime you want to come back, we'll chop it up again. But I do appreciate you taking time out of your day.
Hey, this was fun. Unlike so much of the last week of this job, I actually had a really good time. I'm happy I did it, man. So thank you for having me.
No problem, man. As long as I can take your mind off of some stupid shit that, you know, that's going on or anything, anything that's going on and, you know, just to give you some kind of a distraction, it's, I'm glad I was able to play a part in that.
Let's hope wrestling gets better.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Thanks again for listening to the flagship edition of the Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Please follow RTW on Twitter at Red Turtles Pod. You can also send us an email at RedTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. We'd like to thank you for all your support. You've been listening to the Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast, exclusively here on the R&R Podcast Network.